Skagway waves goodbye to the last cruise ship of the season, and a recap of Tuesday's Haynes Borough Assembly meeting. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Mike Swayze. Those stories are up next. The Haynes Assembly met Tuesday night to verify election results. Two assembly members ended their terms, making way for two new members, and the new borough manager attended her first meeting. Also, as KHNS's Corinne Smith reports, there was an update on recovery efforts from last winter's deadly storms.
The Haynes Assembly canvassed 72 ballots at its Tuesday meeting from last week's municipal elections. After the canvass, the official election results were announced, with Tyler Hooling maintaining her lead with 605 votes and Deborah Schnabel with 594 votes, winning two seats on the Borough Assembly. They're scheduled to be sworn in on October 26, replacing Jerry Lapp and Carol Tyneman. Assemblymember Tyneman thanked the Assembly and the community Tuesday night, her final meeting.
It's been a tremendous pleasure to serve on this Assembly. I have learned so much.
Tyneman also had last words on two borough issues. She emphasized the importance of an open public process for redrafting its Heliski ordinance, which has been hotly debated this year. And later in the meeting, Tyneman introduced a motion for the Assembly to weigh in on the state's redistricting plans, which will redraw legislative districts based on the 2020 census data.
I feel it's a way to cement our vision of how we work regionally.
But the Assembly voted it down 3-2, with Assemblymembers Rogers, Stickler, and Thomas voting against without comment. Newly hired borough manager Annette Kreitzer was welcomed to her first assembly meeting and gave the manager's report. That included a report from Haynes lobbyist in Juneau, Ted Popley, who was contracted by the borough for $48,000 to work on the Lutac Dock redevelopment plan. The state legislature did not grant that funding. Kreitzer has an extensive background in state government and said that was likely due to the federal infrastructure bill still being debated in the U.S. House.
Just based on my previous experience, I would say that there is probably a hold on a number of projects as the state and other municipal entities like yourself wait to see what's going to happen.
In other news, Sarah Chapel with the Haynes Long-Term Recovery Group provided an update on the disaster recovery effort. She reported over 400,000 pounds of disaster debris has been removed, also thanks to assistance from Team Rubicon, a veteran-led disaster recovery organization that spent 10 days in Haynes last month. She also made an announcement that the partnership with Team Rubicon will continue.
Really, thanks to the generous welcome of the community, they've chosen Haynes as one of their two communities in the nation that they're going to assist with rebuild efforts following a disaster.
The group reports 125 households needed disaster assistance after the deadly December storms. 16 households have returned to their homes since June, and 7 households remain in temporary housing. 8 homes were completely destroyed last December, and Chapel says Team Rubicon rebuilding for 2 of them will have a huge immediate impact.
And it's going to allow those residents to return back to their residences this winter. And additionally, they're considering a larger rebuild project next summer to address some of our more complex cases, and they're also sending a communications team up to highlight the story of resilience in Haynes to a national audience.
Chapel says more details on the construction, labor, and costs will be negotiated in the coming weeks. In Haynes, I'm Corinne Smith.
The last ship of the shortened cruise season visited Skagway on Tuesday. I wandered through downtown to get reactions from local businesses and cruise passengers on a rainy, cold October day. I live less than a block away from Skagway Spirits Distillery and was surprised to see the open sign lit up for the tasting room on Tuesday, so I made that my first stop.
That's our locally harvested raspberries.
It hadn't been open much this year. It's several blocks away from the downtown shopping district, and the owners didn't expect many tourists to make the trek to Alaska Street this summer. But they said they got a call from Lynn and Matt, a couple from Florida, and decided to open their doors and start pouring.
I love the weather here. Despite being from Florida, it might sound like weird, but yeah, the being cold and wet instead of hot and sweaty is, I'll take that.
That's Matt in his shorts and a long sleeve shirt. His partner Lynn was dressed more for the Skagway weather.
The scenery is just beautiful, and it's just nice to be out and like about and in some fresh air.
I headed downtown next, dodging raindrops and ducking into the few shops on Broadway Street that had stayed open for the last cruise ship day. I stopped into Skagway Handloom and Handicrafts and talked to Bemica. She opened up shop in 2019, one season before the pandemic stopped cruise ship traffic for almost two full years.
Instead of getting nothing, it's better to open and get something. So I'm happy.
She said at least this year was better than last year.
Last year was completely zero, you know. We don't get anything.
Curio Shop Lynch and Kennedy was the next stop.
Yes, if you want some prices, just let me know. Scream it out, shout it out.
Viola Gazzara is the consummate salesperson, helping customers look at hand-blown glass fish and telling me about what she called the mini season.
6 weeks of shortness but loveliness. People have been great. We've really enjoyed it. We have a full schedule booked for next year, and we're just absolutely ecstatic about that. We hope that holds. But, you know, it's so nice to have the people back.
Back out into the rain as I continued southbound down Broadway, I ran into Tam and Karen from the San Francisco Bay Area, waiting under an awning for the smart bus shuttle back to their cruise ship.
There's plenty to do, certainly in Skagway. Actually, I found more to do in Skagway than I did in Juneau or Ketchikan.
Tam was impressed with Skagway's historic district.
It's gorgeous. Let me tip my hat to you. This is so charming. I love this. I love your city. I'm having a great time on the cruise.
Across the street, Sonny Merchandani from Empire Jewelers told me that even though it took him and his wife about a month to open up the store, and he expects it to take just as long to pack everything up, the shortened summer season was worth it.
We've done okay, and, you know, better than what we expected. You know, most of the people, I would say, were very kind, very understanding.
There's a tradition in Skagway where a bunch of seasonal workers and a few locals gather at the dock to send off the last cruise ship of the season with bottles of champagne and a group mooning. That didn't happen this year. It was just me and a few security guards. One of them, Stu Stevens, remembers the big send-offs from years past.
Usually there's about 30 or 40 heathens, and they're all trying to get on the dock, and we hold them off until the ship is at least a little ways off and headed out. They run out and cheer and moon them. And
this year, the Royal Caribbean ship Ovation of the Seas was the last to call on Skagway. They were delayed a day due to weather, so most of the seasonal workers were already on the ferry south to Juneau, looking to catch flights to wherever their winter plans take them. The ship slid away from the railroad dock in Skagway silently. There was no mooning, no party, not even a honk of a car horn. Just a giant luxury cruise ship slowly disappearing down the fjord, signaling that the pandemic-shortened 2021 cruise season was officially over. For KHNS News, I'm Mike Swayze. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also subscribe to or follow KHNS News anywhere you get your podcasts.